Welcome back to Momcast, or welcome to Momcast if you're new. Today we are discussing postpartum depression and some signs to look out for if you or someone close to you may be dealing with it. So grab your coffee and that bud you've been saving all day. Let's get
today, into it. Today we will be discussing postpartum depression and the different signs to look for when you start dealing with that. Why don't we start with your journey and where you started off and being a mother and how it affected you?
Certainly. I do this work based on what happened to me way back in the 1980s, before internet, before, you know, everything was the snail mail and there was no way to look up what the heck was happening with me. I was a special education teacher. I was teaching rehab therapy, psychology, early childhood education, special education at community colleges. And we were very much looking forward to our first baby. And when baby came, right there, still in the hospital, my mental health did such a dive. I have never felt this before in my life. I don't have any personal history. I hadn't had any personal history of depression. I was plagued with terrifying thoughts, horrifying things. Now I know it was postpartum OCD, obsessive compulsive.
Oh, wow.
With the scariest pictures of something happening to the baby. Sometimes I was doing the harm. And you know, when moms don't have education about what's happening, what information, they just feel horrifically ashamed and guilty and feeling like they're not worth being a mom. They don't deserve to be a mother. So that's how I was launched into motherhood back then. There was nothing but criticism and judgment surrounding me. My husband didn't know why this wasn't the happiest time in my life and why I was terrified to be left alone with a baby, because I wasn't trusting myself. I thought if I was thinking these terrible things,
you might do them.
Stop me from doing them. Yeah. Exactly.
Mm.
So that went on, this horrifying, really hellish experience went on for almost 2.5 years. I remember when our daughter turned about 2.5, I started tasting my food again. I started seeing in color again. I started thinking, wow, maybe I can be a mom. So now in retrospect, of course, you know, I realized my hormones were coming back to normal. And I didn't know what the heck had happened, but all I knew is that I was feeling more like me. And I got pregnant again. I mean, depression is interesting. You know, when you're depressed, you can't imagine, right, ever feeling normal again. And when you're feeling good, you can't ever imagine feeling like that again.
Yeah, so, you're like, why was I depressed in the first place? That doesn't make any sense. I should have just done this.
What was my problem?
Yeah. Right?
Precisely.
Like, it's fixable. Like, it is to a certain extent, but sometimes like you just got to feel it.
Yeah, well, you can't pray your way out of it. I mean, you can't read your way out of it. You can't meditate your way out of it. I mean, all those things can certainly help. Whatever. But when your brain chemistry does a flip-flop like that, we feel so out of control. I mean, now my message is, and it has been now for decades, there is great help out there, and there's no need to suffer. But back then, it was just horrifying. And again, nobody was talking about postpartum anything. So I went into it again. I once our second child was born, I plummeted again. And it was about a year after he was born that I heard the term a postpartum illness and started reading everything I could get my hands on from all over the world that had been translated into English, and realized that the U.S. was far behind many other countries, and this was a very real phenomenon. And I started running, still very depressed, I started running the first support group in the U.S. Out of my living room in Northern California. And remember, there was no social media. You can't. So all of this was word of mouth. And every week, at least five women, anywhere from 5 to 15 women, would be driving and sometimes flying into California so they could get to the support group. Yeah,
that's
so
amazing.
That's how it all started.
That's so cool. How did you, like, was it just friends telling friends and family members? And
yes, there were two signs that were posted. One was on the bulletin board of the pediatrician's office.
Okay. Yeah.
The other was at a local market. You know how they have the bulletin boards?
Yeah.
And you can, there was a flyer in both of those places.
Wow.
Yes, it was word of mouth. Yes. But we're talking 1 in 7 women.
Yeah.
Experience something more severe than the normal baby blues. I mean, we're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So once the word was getting out, it spread quickly.
Yeah. Cause I remember having my son and being like, you know, I love him. I love him and I would do anything for him, but I am so sad and I just don't know if I am going to be a good mom. Like how,
right.
What, and that sucks. That's the first place your mind kind of goes to. Like, I'm not a good mom because I'm sad.
Exactly. I'm not feeling what I think I'm supposed to be feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, there's something inadequate about me. You're right. That's exactly where we go.
I feel like a lot of the media, because even in the older shows that I've watched, it was always mom's happy to do whatever she can for the family. And as long as the family's happy, then she's happy. But what about when mom's dealing with stuff? Like, I feel like a lot of media has, and parents just not talking about it. It's kind of like forced upon us, like we're supposed to be happy and we're supposed to know what to do when we have these children. They don't come with the manual. I have looked.
You know, it's you can search all you want.
Well, yeah.
You know, and it's so funny because there are 1,000,001 parenting books out there because this is not instinctual.
Mm.
If it were instinctual, like a bird or a, right?
Yeah.
Then we wouldn't need books. You know?
Mm.
So, but you're absolutely right. You know, we're expected to feel a certain way. We put that pressure on ourselves as well. And it's hard enough just having a kid.
Oh gosh.
But when the brain chemistry is affected, you know, when the neurotransmitters are affected by the shifting hormones, or for other reasons, maybe the mom is socially isolated.
Mm.
Maybe she doesn't have a car. Maybe she can't get to appointments. Maybe,
yeah.
During COVID, nobody could even come in the house half the time. I mean, that, you know, the isolation was huge. And so there are many, many factors. If she's not getting good support, even if brain chemistry was okay, it can still affect her. And she can become depressed. There are all sorts of factors that can feed in to a postpartum depression or other mental health challenges. Yes,
yeah.
And this can happen during pregnancy as well. We're concentrating on the postpartum, but many times I just wanted your listeners to know that many times, you know, I'm contacted by women going, I'm still pregnant. I mean, what the heck can I have postpartum depression when I'm still pregnant?
Right.
And I'll say, we call it perinatal mental health challenges. Perinatal meaning covering pregnancy plus, you know, months afterward, after the baby's born.
Wow, so that would have been nice to know when I was pregnant, because every single one of my pregnancies, I was like, you know, it would be so much better if I just wasn't, and I wasn't.
Yeah.
It's a hard place to be.
Very. Absolutely. And so, yes, whatever can happen with us, with our vulnerability postpartum, we're just as vulnerable during pregnancy.
Wow.
So the mental health challenges often start during pregnancy. They didn't in my case. I did fine during pregnancy. As a matter of fact, a little bit better than I was. I mean, I was like extra.
Your body was just getting ready to, you know, give you that downhill.
That's actually a warning sign.
Yeah, is it
when
really?
You're feeling much, much better than you were even you know, before you got pregnant, even though I wasn't depressed.
Right.
There was just an extra, right. We're often, you know, often we're getting compliments for these things. Mm-hmm. Like, woo, look how well you're taking. But honestly, looking back, what I now know is that I was going to drop big time when those hormones, mm-hmm. because I was so, so high, and not high as in manic, but
right.
But, you know, feeling extra wonderful, there was going to be a huge, huge shift.
Wow.
There is anyway. But yeah, it hit hard.
So what are some other signs that you can kind of look out for to see if you're dealing with postpartum? Or what was the other one you said? I'm sorry, I have a horrible memory.
Oh, you know, there are 6 identified postpartum, we call them mood and anxiety disorders. It's a mouthful.
Yeah.
I was talking about my having OCD, postpartum
okay.
OCD. Right. But yeah, there are others. There's panic disorder. There's, it's very rare, but it happens, psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
There is postpartum bipolar disorder. There's postpartum post-traumatic stress disorder. I had a smorgasbord of many of them. Not psychosis, happy to say. But yeah, there are a few of them.
Wow.
We focus on postpartum depression because it's the most common.
Yeah.
We're talking, you know, 15 to 20%. I mean, there are many, many of us, at least 1 in 7. So, so the way you can tell the difference, talk about baby blues is normal. Baby blues, mild symptoms, doesn't feel good, but really, you know, the woman doesn't lose her perspective. She knows it's, you know, the teariness and the moodiness and the feelings of dependency. I mean, she's healing possibly from stitches and, you know, just the newness of it all, sleep deprivation's in there too, but it's mild and it should be gone. The baby blues should be gone about 2 weeks following delivery.
Oh, wow.
So if the baby blues continues, we now call it postpartum depression. It might be mild postpartum depression, but really baby blues, mood should be coming back to normal. I'd say at the outset, 3 weeks following delivery. So that's one way you can, well, actually, those are 2 ways you can tell. The
right.
severity of the symptoms and the duration of the symptoms. So in my case, immediately when that placenta was delivered, I plummeted.
Wow.
So the mental health challenge, the illness, the disorder was happening immediately.
Hmm.
So if a woman, if the symptoms get in the way of her daily functioning, or her ability to sleep at night when her baby's sleeping, she needs help right away. She shouldn't wait 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
Because those are severe symptoms right there.
Those are. If she has surges of anger, if she is so anxious, no reassurance really helps her calm down. If her self-esteem drops, like if she's saying things like, I'm not going to be a good mother. Anybody can do this better than I can. You see, my husband picks up the kid and she stops crying.
Yeah.
You know, what's wrong with me? Those are not normal statements for
mm-hmm.
a new mother. So if, you know, that's what you're listening for. Is she putting herself down? Is she saying things like, my baby's rejecting my milk? Not a normal statement.
Yeah.
Okay. Because sometimes, you know, when babies are feeding or breastfeeding, they'll turn their head away. You know, they'll just pull off.
They don't make it easy.
No, it's not personal. But if a new mom is taking that very normal behavior
personally. Yeah, because that's a new relationship. Like, that's a different step in that relationship that you're making with that child.
Right.
And so that rejection is going to feel personal because you're like, this new thing doesn't want
right.
me. Why?
But the point is, as we know, it's not a rejection,
yeah,
but she
no.
might, if she takes it that way,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so those are the, you know, and certainly if she has any insomnia, if everybody's sleeping in the house, but her mind is racing or her body won't let her sleep, that's actually quite serious.
Mm.
Insomnia is serious and you need help right away because you want to make sure your body is able to sleep when you've got a chance. I'm not talking about during the day.
Yeah.
I focus with my clients on nighttime sleep, the brain restorative sleep.
Looking back on all of it, I should have got help as soon as my kids were born. And that sucks so much because now you have that information and you're like, oh man, I could have prevented this, but how can you prevent something when the information's not there?
Exactly.
And how do you know what to look for if your pediatrician isn't giving, or not your pediatrician, but your doctor isn't giving you, this information? Right. Because I know I didn't get this information. The only information I did get that I loved was a breastfeeding specialist, basically, because with
a lactation consultant.
Yes, that's exact. Thank you so much. That word was slipping my mind. Because when my first two, I tried to breastfeed and I couldn't get them to latch. And I was like, I'm a horrible mom. I can't even do this. Find out I didn't know, but I wasn't positioning baby to where baby was comfortable. I wasn't finding that sweet spot.
Right. And again, so one of the myths of motherhood that can actually cause depression and a lot of anxiety is I should know how to do this.
Yeah.
It should be instinctual.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's what I dealt with.
And it isn't instinctual. <It's> not. I mean, we have to be taught how to do this stuff, right?
Yeah.
We've got all these myths going on. You know, my life shouldn't change. It's just the same with a baby.
Mm, I mean, no.
My needs shouldn't matter anymore. I mean, that's one of the biggest myths of all. We do what we can, but if you do exactly what you said, if you don't have the information, then there's nothing to go
on. Do?
OBs, believe it or not, to this day, in their medical training, they are not taught about mental health of their patients.
Mm.
Not during pregnancy, and certainly not after the baby comes. They're surgeons. They're trained to be surgeons. Mm. So I'm not blaming them.
Right.
It's not their fault. They're not taught. So unless they go to an in-service training, you know, or something they choose to go to learn, they don't have the information.
Yeah.
We're going in the right direction. I mean, there are enough of us now that are jumping up and down going, you need training, I'll come in, I'll do your, you know, send me your nurses and your office staff, and, you know, I'll teach you how to screen, all of that. But,
which is crazy because there's so many mental health questions after you have baby, like, how are you doing? Are you feeling this depression? And I know with my first, I filled all that out. And the only thing they did was put me on pills that made me feel like crap.
And that's so unfortunate. I'll tell you, the best doctors that I know, that I've been working with, I've been doing this work for, 36, almost 37 years. The best doctors I know say, look, if you I'm willing to prescribe to you. And here, sometimes they'll hand a prescription to them. They'll say, but first, get a full assessment, you know, from Dr. Shosh or one of my colleagues, somebody who I've trained. Mm-hmm. I've trained so many mental health professionals over the years and nannies and doulas and, but first get a full assessment. You may or may not need this prescription.
Yeah.
Right. Because sometimes just with a basic plan of action, with nighttime sleep, with emotional support, with physical support, with some exercise if they're able to, and even breathing exercises if they haven't gotten the green light to walk even yet, you know?
Yeah.
Nutrition, very simple guidelines for nutrition. I mean, with a solid basic plan of recovery, often the medication isn't even needed.
Yeah.
I'm not throwing medication away. If one needs it and that's what helps her return to 100%, great. But
awesome.
All I'm saying is that often it isn't isn't required, or there are also alternative and complementary therapies, modalities. I'd say maybe a little under half of my clients over the years are on an antidepressant or a mood stabilizer or something. Mm-hmm. Most of my clients at this point are not.
Wow.
They
that's
don't
amazing. Yay!
Yeah, there are really a number of options out there. So again, I'm not saying this is better than
right,
this.
Yeah.
Each individual has to do whatever she needs to do in order to be healthy and whole and happy, right?
Whatever makes mom good, loving, you know, working on your, if you need both of them, you need both of them. If one of them works, awesome. If the other one doesn't, get rid of it. Do what works for you.
Exactly.
And that is
right.
Important because not everybody is the same. Not everybody's going to respond to everything in the same way. And I think a lot of people forget that. And that's really unfortunate.
Right. Like I'll be asked even, what's the best antidepressant? And I'll say, the one that works.
Yeah. Test right? them. It's there, a trial and error.
There isn't one that's better than another, right? Sometimes there's more research on one with
yes.
breastfeeding, I mean, things like that. But anyway, yeah, what you're saying is great. Whatever pieces of that puzzle she needs mm-hmm. in order to be happy, healthy, and whole, that is the most loving, kind, smartest thing she can
yeah.
do, not only for herself, but for everybody she loves.
Yeah, because then you can be that happy mom that loves doing those things, whatever it may be, for
right.
her family. And that's
right.
amazing. We did touch a little bit here and there about sleep. So I
yes.
did want to talk more about that because that is one of the biggest things that I still struggle with today
yeah.
is just
yeah.
getting sleep.
Yes. So again, I focus on nighttime sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, new moms are told sleep when the baby sleeps. Personally, I don't care if she can sleep during the day. And frankly, too much sleep during the day can get in the way of her REM cycles
mm-hmm.
and mess up her moods.
Yeah.
So I focus on nighttime sleep, and that is the first part of the Dr. Shosh wellness plan that I focus on
yeah.
because it is the most under-recognized cause of postpartum depression and the other mood and anxiety disorders.
Mm.
And I know sometimes, you know, moms will look at me cross-eyed going, "What on what planet? I mean, in what lifetime am I ever going to be able to sleep at night?"
Yeah.
You can get a solid plan. Now, with a newborn, does it take another adult working it with you?
Yep.
But whether you need to hire that person, whether it's Aunt whoever from Minnesota that needs to fly to California to be, you know, but
right.
typically when I help a client who feels alone or feels like their spouse isn't going to get up, there is a way. I help her brainstorm. So
yeah.
she's got a solid plan. What you need, what we know is that we need, what we're shooting for, just for basic mental health, 5 hours of uninterrupted sleep per night. Now, is that enough? No. But 5 hours of uninterrupted, not 2 hours here with an interruption and then 3 hours and all together. No. Uninterrupted, so you get the REM cycles that you need. That will help to protect the serotonin level in your brain. And for most people with postpartum depression, it's serotonin dependent. That's why often the SSRIs are used, serotonin reuptake inhibitors. So just for basic mental health, 5 hours uninterrupted. So for a new mom who's trying to establish breastfeeding maybe, she might wait a couple of weeks until the breastfeeding is established.
Mm-hmm.
But then especially if she's high risk, right? If she's had a postpartum depression before, she's about 80% risk to have another one if we don't really take some steps to help
right.
her prevent it. So we will set up a plan of action. So either she's pumping, so, you know, a husband, boyfriend, parent, neighbor, whoever she can get in there at night
right.
can take over. She might, you know, empty both breasts, then go to sleep. Right? And somebody else does the next feeding or two. But it doesn't take some support. You bet. Is it workable? Yep. Yes.
So
that by itself can help her prevent a depression. Sorry.
Yeah.
I just
get
passionate
you're good.
About the sleep part. Yeah.
No, you're good. For me, I didn't have the support. I wasn't financially stable enough.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say for those moms? What are some ideas that you could give them to where they could try to get that 5 hours of uninterrupted sleep?
Again, even if it's one night a week that a friend can come over, do you know what I mean? It doesn't,
yeah.
I mean, ideally, is it every night? Yes. You get what you can. One night is better than none.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask her who came to her baby shower. I mean, who are these people? You know, and are there one or two that have offered to say, hey, whatever you need, just let me know? Have you actually called them, or you do have that myth of self-reliance?
I don't need help.
Do this all myself. I don't need it, right? So if that's going on, I help them over that.
Okay.
I'll say, okay, you got a homework assignment. Call one of those people, or at least text them.
Yeah,
which seems safer to many people, right?
Because sometimes reaching out is the scariest part.
Exactly right. And often what happens in this process, one of the greatest silver linings is that you can find out who's really there for you. Mm. It's often not the people you think will be.
Yeah, you know? Which is so weird.
Well, it just is.
And I know,
better,
but it's
you
weird.
Know. It's a good, I mean, you can get disappointed.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, definitely.
But you can also be amazed that you're, right, one of the people at church who actually said, just call me. You know, that I know it's really tough. I'm a single mom as well. Just let me know. I'll work it out. I'll come over. She means it. Give her a try. You know, we all feel good when we give, right? Like I ask the same moms who have a hard time asking for help. I said, so how does it feel when you get to give to somebody who you care about and you know that it's really helping them? They say, it feels great. I said, then don't rip off that other person from getting that same feeling.
I just told my husband that the other day too. I was like, let me help you. Because I know you're going through some stuff. Let me help you, because guess what? I love you and I like to help you.
Right. There needs to be a receiver for the giver to get that good feeling.
Yeah.
So often during this process, my clients learn how to elicit the support that might be right there. They just haven't taken advantage of it.
But I loved having you on. The information, just the little bit that we did get to chat, I've learned so much that I had no idea. Like, I didn't know these things existed. I knew there were places out there that could help, but it always seemed so far away. Like, the help always seemed so far away, but since COVID hit, it's helped with therapy online, and that's what I've done is I've gone online, and I'm like, hey, I live in the middle of nowhere. I don't want the gas.
It doesn't matter. For the last 13 years, I've been working with women worldwide, long before
COVID. That's so awesome.
So, yeah, last message to your listeners. There's great help out there, but make sure you get the proper help. This is a specialty.
Yeah.
So don't just try to talk with a nice person.
Yeah.
Right, so you can vent. You need a strategy of wellness. Whether you're contacting me through drshosh.com or somebody I've trained, or somebody, but make sure they've got the right expertise, right? They've gone to a 2-day training, or they know the right books or the resources to help you, and they really get it. Mm-hmm. Make sure you feel heard. But this is 100% treatable.
Yes.
And you can emerge from this experience happier than you've ever been.
Yeah, and I will put the link to your website in the description for all of our listeners to go. And if they are feeling any of these feelings, and just the help is out there. And we have amazing people like Dr. Shosh here that are here to help us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, I appreciate you, and I hope that you have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. You as well.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Postpartum depression is something that I truly believe we need to talk about more and not feel ashamed of it. As much as I wish I was more open with my depression when I was a new mom, I also didn't really have a support system that most women did. I will be providing Dr. Sasha's website in the description, along with one free week of BetterHelp online therapy. Like we said before, the first step can be the hardest when it comes to seeking help for yourself. So I want to try and make that first step a little bit easier. I hope you all have a great week, and I can't wait to hang out with you next time.